thank you, everyone, for coming on the call tonight. Let's start off with Dottie. Dottie is going to share her testimonial about what Heart and Body did for her. Now, just to back up a little bit, Healthy Hearts Club is over a 10-year-old company now, and we've had the opportunity to help many thousands of people, thousands and thousands all over the world now. We have customers, in the United States, lots of customers in the U.S., Canada, the U.K., Australia, New Zealand, Japan, China, Brazil, Mexico, all sorts of places all over the world. And what Healthy Hearts Club is about is really helping people to regain back their health, to regain back a quality of life. And for those reps that are involved in the business, not only helping yourself to get healthy, but helping others to be healthy, and at the same time making a very handsome income while you're doing that. It's the best of both worlds, being healthy and also being able to make a very nice living doing what you love to do, which is helping people. So without any further ado, Dottie, make it just a short testimonial today, like about 5 minutes, because we're going to be having Al Copeland as our guest speaker.
I have my watch in front of me, so I will.
All right.
I started doing that because I know that I get so involved in telling the good stuff that I overdo it, and then I'm like, oh, my goodness.
No, that's okay. That's okay. So, Dottie, you're a very fine example of what can happen when the body gets what it needs nutritionally to be in top form. So without any further ado, just let the listeners know your experience with Heart and Body Extract.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate that opportunity, Sharon. The first time I ever heard Sharon's voice was in July of 2004, and I was just taken back, just awestruck by the words that she gave to us as a reason why, her own personal need, of creating the formula for Heart and Body Extract and how it did help her. Well, it was 4 years prior to that, in January of 2000, when I ended up in the hospital in Billings, Montana, and I had a heart attack, arrhythmia, where they had to stop my heart and start it again, recalibrate it. I had neuropathy so bad that I really just wanted to chop my feet off. They hurt so badly. And the burning, throbbing, aching, and I would have to sit up on the side of the bed at night and rub them about every 20 to 30 minutes in order to get the circulation going. And so I knew that I had a problem there. I also had a bit of edema, a little bit of water retention. Wasn't severe, but it needed attention. Also had diabetes too. So I had some list of unwanted conditions, and so when I heard Sharon, I knew that the herbs would be the answer, because the pharmaceuticals were not curing the problem. They were carrying me along, but it was not good. It wasn't getting healthy. And in, 6-7 months after I had that heart attack in Billings in January of 2000. I also had hemorrhaging capillaries in front of my retinas of my eyes and caused me to be without my central vision. So I had a lot of immediate things that I needed to get some sort of care for, and the ophthalmologist gave me no hope whatsoever with my eyes. They hadn't accomplished anything there to correct that. So when I heard Sharon, I knew that if I got my blood clean and healthy, that would help, of course, the whole total body, because you're putting healthy blood that's going to do something from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. So we ordered it and got right on it, and, of course, within 24 to 32 hours, I got relief from my feet. It began to benefit me immediately, and I was just so thankful, so grateful for some relief from my feet. And if anybody has neuropathy in their feet or hands, I empathize with you, for you, because heart and body was the thing that gave me any hope of having any kind of quality life whatsoever. It started opening up my veins and cleaning that out, and I didn't know all that was happening like I understand now, but I have recognized exactly what that extract was doing in my blood. And then in the seventh, eighth, and ninth days is when it began to affect my vision, and it was cleaning out some of that blood, and I could see straight through, except it was smoky, marbleized, kind of foggy-like. It wasn't, you know, really clear. But it was a great improvement to the extent that I could see straight through, and I could read the title of that magazine that I stuck in front of my face. And that was on the ninth day after getting the extract and start using it. So with heart and body in my veins, everything good began to happen because it was the clean out. And as I have understood what's happening, as what has happened over the almost 7 years now that I've been taking it, it's a process of cleaning and getting healthier. So it was degunking my system, per se, my hair, my skin, my nails. I finally got healthy looking again instead of, oh, they were horrible. They were like tomato peels on the very tops of my hands. And now they're good and healthy, and it's such a relief and a delight to know that that's what's happening in the rest of my body. And my eyesight is not perfect yet, but it's so improved. In other words, I'm looking at my on my reader, my magnifier right now. I'm looking at my watch that's under it, and I see all of it except just a little shadowy bit with my eyes as they are today. And I understand from doctors that there's nothing else that can be done at the moment. It hasn't been created or improvised just yet. It's not like the cornea problem that where you can remove that growth from the front of the eye. This is at the back in front of the retina. So I'm just thankful for heart and body because it has given me back my equilibrium with that procedure of getting into my eyes and cleaning that out so that I can see level again. I guess that's the best way to say it. And I am just very grateful. My kidneys and my liver are now functioning in the 95% now when they were down in 25 and 28, I do believe, 7 years ago. That was their actual performance ratio. So, yes, I don't care what happens to need attention in your body. Heart and body is going to give attention to it. And so if you're in the sound of my voice, do yourself a great favor. And do get heart and body extract and keep your nourishment up because you can't get that nourishment any other place except in heart and body extract. Thank you, Sharon.
Well, thank you so much, Dottie, and what a fine testimonial that was. I mean, from the tip of your toes to the top of your head, you had results. It's very,
yes,
very amazing, and it really does make perfect sense because the circulation involves 70, 80,000 miles of blood vessels throughout the whole body. It makes.
And I left out the fact that I did get to cut back on my pharmaceuticals, and that's
wow.
So important.
That is
so,
so
important. You don't need chemicals in the body.
That's right.
We need the pure stuff, and that's what heart and body is.
That's right. Nutritional supplement, organic, well-crafted herbs, and it's a liquid formula, which is the very, very best.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, Dottie. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.
My pleasure.
Now, tonight we're very fortunate to have Al Copeland from Lynchburg, Virginia, on the line. Thank you so much for attending our call tonight, Al. Much appreciated.
Glad to be here, Sharon.
Thank you. Now, tell the listeners, please, what do you do for a living?
Well, I work with, I'll call nutrition advisory, live blood microscopy, which involve looking at the blood in its live state under a very high-power microscope that magnifies each cell up to 30,000 times. Mm-hmm. This way you're able to see different types of deficiencies, imbalances, and things that's growing in the blood or just causing different types of health conditions. And when you see it in its live state, because when you, I've said on various calls in the book of Leviticus, the 17th chapter, 11 to the 14th verse, it mentions in the Bible several times that life is in the blood, man and beast. And when it says life is in the blood, the life is in the blood when the blood is in its live state. Once we die, there's no life, no live activity. But when you look at the blood in its live state, the first few seconds it comes outside the body. It only takes two drops of blood, one for the live blood, one for the dry blood. But it's like looking inside of looking through a window and looking inside your body and being able to see all the different things that's taking place that can contribute to just about every type of health condition there is.
What does healthy blood look like?
Healthy blood is It's a wonderful sight, but it's very rarely seen. Healthy blood, every cell has a negative electromagnetic charge. Every cell has a current in it, has a frequency. And when the blood is healthy, it has that negative charge, and which keeps the cells from sticking together. So it's like a flowing, a dancing motion. Each cell, like, touch each other, repels off. It moves in a very rhythmic flow. It's almost like they're dancing, and the surrounding fluids around the cells normally is clear. There's very little debris. When I say debris, different things like bacteria, fungi, yeast, and just different things that contribute to different health conditions. So when the blood is healthy, you don't see those things. You see for every 700 more red blood cells, you see white blood cells. But like I say, it's a very unique and sight to see, but it says not something that you see frequently.
So you kind of mentioned what happens with unhealthy blood, but I think it deserves repetition, Al, for the benefit of new listeners. What does unhealthy blood look like?
Oh, well, unhealthy blood is what I would say 95%+ of the blood readings I've done and do over the years. And what happens is because of diet, lifestyle, environmental, and so forth, things that we do, unhealthy blood, is where the blood is thick. And then the cells, rather than being separate and having a negative charge, it has a positive charge, and the positive charge causes the cells to stick together. When they stick together, it looks like anybody, if you go to the bank, you get a stack of quarters and nickels and dimes, whatever, in the little rows, so it looks like dimes stacked on top of each other, and which is called rouleau. But what happens when that happens, the body can't absorb nutrients like it needs to. The body cannot process oxygen like it needs to. The circulation is impaired considerably. Then what happens, not being able to get oxygen, not being able to absorb nutrients, then there's all type of things start to grow in the blood. You can see the bacteria, like we were saying, you see the fungi, you see yeast, you see parasites, you see all kinds of different type of debris. It looks like a garbage dump. rather than the blood being free and clean and free-flowing, it's all clumped together, and this looks like a garbage dump of debris that's inside the blood, and that in itself, and the more unhealthy and more health problems a person have, the more the blood is thick, the more debris, the more things you see in the blood. So like I say, it's a very unsightly scene when you look at unhealthy blood, but it's amazing. Most of us walking around, even though we look good or feel good on our side, but the state of our blood is not in a state of health and being healthy as it should be.
So, Al, what do you recommend that people do so that they have healthy blood?
Well, there's a number of things that should be done to have healthy blood. First of all, is our eating habits. Most of us, our diet is far, far out of balance. And most people today, their diet consists of mostly cooked foods, processed foods, heavy diet of meats, heavy diet of carbohydrates, and so forth. And this, you know, they say according to the for food groups, we should eat at least 5 leafy vegetables and so many 5 or so leafy some type of fruit daily. But what happens? I would say less than 5% or 10% of the population even do that. So what when that happens, it causes a severe or acid buildup in the body. The body, because all these foods, they are very acidic. And when you think of acid, you like think of carbaryl acid, and it's just as corrosive as carbaryl acid. And it causes all kinds of mutation in the cells, and causes all kinds of imbalances, and causes all kinds of deficiencies in the cells. So, as I said, our diet, our environment, our lifestyle, people who, say, especially drinking things, sodas, excess amount of alcohol, white flour, white bread products, sugary desserts, wrong combination of foods. It's just a number of factors that's involved that contributes to the blood being healthy and unhealthy. And a big, big, big biggie is that as people get older, from the age of 20, they start losing the thirst signal. Because I've did survey questions for the last 10, 12 years, and less than 3 to 5% of the population drinks more than four or five glasses of water daily. So, this body can't flush and can't eliminate the excess waste toxins and acids and so forth that builds up in the blood.
Yes, water is definitely very, very critical. Now, heart and body extract, how does that work in the body?
Well, heart and body extract is an all-natural, organic, herbal product. And one of the things that unique about it is that fact is that because of the masses of the population,
blood
the way it is that their digestive system is over or out of balance because of the high acidity. And the heart and the body, being it's a liquid extract, and it goes in subliminally up under the tongue, and within 3 to 5 minutes, it can go from head to toe normally. And the beautiful thing about it is that once you put it under the tongue, it goes directly through the heart and goes through the up to 70 to 75 or more miles of veins and vessels from head to toe in such a short period of time. In the process, it helps to break down and increase the blood flow, and that in itself can bring more oxygen, can help distribute those nutrients to the organs, and the more frequently we take it, and I suggest that people 20 years old or older should be taking it because our diet now and the way our lifestyle and things we do, all the studies have found that at the age of 20, when the breakdown factor and beyond start to accelerate, and that's for all humans. And as we get older, 40s and 50s, the artery walls, because of the acid and the pressure and the thickness of the blood, it can cause so much pressure, it causes rip and tear and so forth in the veins and vessels. So the heart and body, with the bushy broom and with the garlic, hawthorn, all these things, help strengthen the heart, helps to repair some of the torn lesions along the walls in the vessels, help to increase the strength of the heartbeat rather than a lot of the drugs that that Lipitor and all these type of things. They lower the efficiency of the heart. So over a period of time, that's really why people begin to notice that they don't have any more energy. They're breathing and everything, so which affects oxygen of the lungs and the oxygen to the organs and the muscles and everything. So everything started to break down. So the one to say the heart and body being a liquid extract and being all organic nutrient, it supplies vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and things directly in the bloodstream and help to nourish at the cells. And when the cells is what need nourishing the body. It's a living, we all are living, walking machines. And only thing the body recognizes is living foods. And the heart and body being an organic liquid extract from plants and herbs, and that's what it has to have because it has the minerals and enzymes and coenzymes and things that the body needs to in order for the blood to go in and do things to clean out and detoxify and help strengthen our bodies.
Amazing formula it is. It really is an awesome formula.
Yes, it really makes a difference. And because the main and the thing is, it's so inexpensive to take it for if a person just doing for maintenance 3 times a day, 14 to 15 drops. But people who have heart circulatory condition, blood pressure problem, diabetics should be at least taking. I have seen that the more if they take it 4 to 5 times a day, 15, 20 drops, especially the first 2 months or so, helps to go in and clean the blood and strengthen the breaking down conditions that's going on inside the body. And in this way, they notice a much faster improvement of their various conditions, health challenges that they're being faced with.
Right. That's a very good idea. Front-end loading.
Yeah, front-end loading is very important when you have chronic issues, because one of the things that happens is that the heart beating up to 100,000 times a day and pumping blood through microcapillaries, and some capillaries, especially microcapillaries, so small only one cell can go through them at a time, like in our brain and our eyes and small extremities of our bodies. And it is so important to take something like the heart and body, because it can minimize, eliminate the numbness and help with the vision and so forth. And it just can prevent so many things, because prevention is 10 times easier and less expensive than to have a condition and then try to cure it and reverse it.
That's right, and sometimes people don't have a second chance, too.
Yeah, special heart attack, where 50% of the people have a heart attack or a stroke, over 50% don't survive the first one. So
wow.
It makes sense to something as little as $2 a day to just put it in and put it in, just put it in. It's so easy to do. So and hold it in their mouth 3 to 4 minutes and let it do what it needs, what it knows how to do, because the body knows what to do when it get the right things, and it knows where it needs it the most, and that's where it goes and start to work and to help those areas to start balancing.
Yes, the body is amazing, and it will work on the most important areas first. That's the way God created us. So
yes, we are wonderfully made.
Yes.
According to the Bible.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you so much, Al. That was great discussion about heart and body extract and how it works in the body. Tonight, our feature topic of discussion is menopause and its relation to heart health. Why are young women's hearts protected while they get their monthly periods, Al?
Well, the body produces the hormones has a lot to do with protecting the heart and so forth. And women, when they're young and before they go through menopause, with the progesterone and estrogen levels being at a much more balanced state, that in itself and helps to, and most are more active as well. Most women are, and being that this is the situation, it caused them to have the better, the problem with the heart. It don't have the problem with the heart as to do when they are older in the circulation. Because like I mentioned earlier, as we get older, the veins and the vessels start to break down. And once they start breaking down, it was explained that women have a little narrow arteries, a little narrower than small than men are. So they may clog faster, quicker, according to clinical studies that have been done, than a man. And so therefore, a woman has to be even more conscious of maintaining her cardiovascular, her circulatory health, especially once you get into the 40s and even before then, but 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, even more so, because it really, because the hormone has the estrogen is began to raise and other hormones began to change and alter the, this in turn also contributed to breakdown factors of the arteries and other things in the body.
So basically what happens at menopause is that you lose your estrogen and your progesterone and progesterone, I should say, and so that is a protector of women, and when you have your menopause, you don't have that that protection as much. What do you think of the progesterone cream that the naturopathic doctors like to recommend to menopausal ladies? Do you think that that's a good idea?
For that, in many cases, it does help. It can be very, it can be beneficial for certain women. It depends on if that is a problem that they have, or that a lot of them have an excessive problem with that, and of course their diet also is makes a major difference at that. So yeah, the progesterone cream can be helpful in many instances. Okay. And a lot of women have to be careful, especially with the soy. Now there's a big movement on soy. Soy in itself has various hormonal effects on the hormones, and women will have hormone sensitivity to different things. They got to be careful for the soy intake of different soy products that they're taking as well.
Yes, I agree with that. Now, what can postmenopausal women do for themselves to protect their heart and their circulatory system?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, one of the main things, major things, is exercise, diet, deep breathing, and lay off excess meats. When I say excess meat, a lot of people are steak eaters. They love to eat a lot of fried foods and things that is more steamed, raw vegetables, foods and so forth that doesn't have has more low calorie intake, and eliminate things that has excess fatty buildup, because excess fat buildup helps to clog the arteries, and of course. With their nutritional levels, it's more leafy vegetables and more raw vegetables. And most people do eat more cooked. Ask most people, is your diet, does your diet consist of 70 to 80% steam or raw foods or cooked foods? And I would say every 8 to 9 people, they say cooked foods. And most cooked foods, once they're cooked, all the enzymes, all the live activity is not there. So, and of course, and that in itself caused the total depletion of enzymes in the body and caused high acid buildup. And high acid buildup in itself does massive corrosion affect the arteries in the circulatory system, as well as the blood in your cells, which in turn start breaking down in the body. According to a certain different research, shows it builds like a cholesterol plaque in order to keep the acid from literally breaking the arteries down and to protect the artery walls. And it also shows that as most women as well as men, as we get older, our thirst signal, normally if they, especially people are, wake up and get, they normally drink coffee, a lot of tea, they say they drink alcohol, and all these things are they are dehydrating. So once the body becomes dehydrated, the hypothalamus and the adrenal glands and the kidney all begin to reset everything. And when that happens, that causes excess acid buildup in the body, and in turn, it causes the breakdown factor. So yesterday, being conscious of this, several factors that be conscious of that can really, really make a major difference.
And water is so key. It is just so key. But good quality, preferably alkaline water.
Yes. I have just recently purchased a high-end piece of medical equipment that gives a accurate, right at 99.9% reading of what's called the extracellular, the intracellular, in the whole body water contents. And what happens if we don't, from childhood, drink and use the body not used to drinking a lot of water, all the cells become like tense. It's like if you take a plant or flower that haven't been watered in a month or two, and you just start drinking water, it just run off. And we find that this is what happens with people who don't drink water, and then they try to start drinking more water. So what this machine, what it indicates, it shows that, and what I've seen so far is just amazing, the extracellular water should be 40%. That's the water that outside the cells that lubricate our joints, that has to do keep our organs and everything like that in a solution, a water solution, and also help excrete and remove waste and things like this from our body. Then we have an intracellular water. Now, there has to be, it should be 60% of the water in our body should be intracellular, and it should have more in the intracells, because inside the cells is where, when you look at the lab blood, you see all the buildup of excess waste, toxins, fungi, and this stuff really literally goes inside. You see it eating away, building up in the cells when you look at the live blood. And if the body doesn't have adequate amount of balance there, it's a major, major contributing factor to just for all sickness and illness. Because one thing is to say, if waste and toxins can't be removed, and only thing we'll do that is water, tea, coffee, orange juice, sugary drinks. So just all that, all those things impairs it even worse. So the extracellular, intracellular water level is extremely, extremely, extremely important that they be at a balanced level. Because if the extracellular level of water is like 10% or 15% lower than what it should be, it causes major problems. If the intracellular water is 10% to 15% lower than what it should be, it causes major problems, because nothing in the body, everything is totally unbalanced. All the function of the body goes into a chaotic, disorganized state. So, yes, it is a very, very critical factor.
I understand, too, that if a person has swelling in the ankles, that can be a sign of dehydration. The body is desperately trying to hold on to water. Do you agree with that, Al?
Oh, definitely. Many conditions that contributes to dehydration is signs of dehydration has to do with, there's a lot of things that the associated doctors I deal with. One of the things that they show that it's called a silent epidemic, the dehydration. And one of the things that I do, and one of the things that they, is a panel about 20 or more different naturopathic, homeopathic doctors, and they stress I mean, they really stress it before you treat any client, a patient, get them on a nutritional regimen or whatever diet regimen. Make sure that their hydration levels are at the levels that the optimal level. And that's the reason why I had to purchase this piece of equipment, because in order to find out what the proper hydration, you need to know what's the extracellular and intracellular levels hydration is. And this body analyzer will hook up to your hand, your feet. It will determine that with 99.9% accuracy. So, yes, because, for example, dehydration has to do with most people feel fatigue, irritability. If they can't sleep, it has a lot to do with depression, sleeplessness. It has a lot to do also with asthma, allergy, hypertension, such constipation, and just so many different things. And the more chronic the dehydration gets, the more deeper and more serious and chronic health problems, because the body cannot flush and get rid of the excess acids and waste and toxins that has built up in the organs and the tissues and the joints and so forth.
And I'm sure it contributes to weight gain, too. A person would have a hard time losing weight because they're just not flushing out the toxins. It's weight-related also, correct?
Well, it's very much weight-related because weight-related problem is one of the signs or factors has to do with dehydration. Because one thing, the liver cannot, and the colon and all the excess weight, so the body, to protect the organs, start developing fat around the different organs in the body to store the acids that can't be flushed out. They keep from corroding and destroying all the organs, start to develop fat cells. And all this fat start to build up in the body. Now, I know this for a fact because my dear sister, who I love very dearly, she used to weigh 130 pounds when she was in her 1920. And she got up to 550 pounds.
Oh, my goodness, poor thing.
By the time she was in her 40s. And the health problems has been unbelievable.
Wow.
She have had. And I've got her now more on a hydration regimen, along with a diet and so forth. And she went to a doctor Monday, and they said she had lost about 8 to 10 pounds, and she hadn't been losing. I mean, now she's weighing 300-something, which is still morbid obese. But it's just mind-boggling. And the body had to form new arteries, new this, new that, and the fat, just the excess fat and incapacitation it causes. And it definitely, dehydration is a major factor. Because at one time, she had major depression. And she had in and out of the mental ward at the hospital in the last 10 years, at least one, two times a year. But since they're getting the hydration up, she hasn't been in at all in the last year.
Wow. Wow.
And it is just mind-boggling the difference it can make. Even though she haven't, her diet has changed some, she's gotten off sodas, she's gotten off for eating a lot of sweets and things like that, like she was doing, and all that too has helped with that as well.
Immensely. And I'm sure that water intake has a lot to do with brain function, and it can help to ward off problems like dementia and Alzheimer's. I mean, I'm not saying it's a cure for it, but it would be a contributing factor to help keep healthy brain function.
Well, water intake is again, one of the most critical factors for brain function, because one of the first signs of dehydration is like sleepiness, people just brain fog. A lot of people say, I don't think too good. I just can't remember. And they found that because when we drink water, this doctor, we call him Dr. Batman, who wrote the book, We're Not Sick, We're Thirsty, who did a 25-year research on 30-plus thousand people. And he found that, all the clinical studies have found that the first part of the body that gets water, the water goes to first, is the brain. Because, in fact, the brain controls every function. It sends out signals, and it's like to every cell, every organ, for every function of the body to work right, it has to have the signal from the brain. Because if a person comes brain, there's a brain, what happens? They lay in a coma. Hmm. Nothing functions. And what it found that people who become, I've seen this with my sister as long as other people, is that, and the anxiety, they get very nervous, very irritable, or they get depression. But the solution that would go to the medical side, they put on antidepressant drugs and put them on all these other things, and people take all these sleeping pills, and have found that once the people start getting hydrated, well, they start sleeping better. Within a matter of a week or 2 weeks, people who sleep after the machine, I've seen my clients that, again, justified after 2 or 3 weeks of doing proper hydration, they have gotten off those things, and they're breathing, and because the lungs, every time we breathe out, if you know the look, we blow on glasses, or one at a time we see the steam, that's micro clusters of water. And it's so critical. So I say the brain is the first organ that has to have the water. And so many people walking around being so dehydrated and drinking these sodas and sugary drinks and juices and so forth, and it's causing all kind of dehydration. And this is a contributing factor to many and many of these problems. Also, in order for the nutritionals, like the heart and body, other things like that to work properly, it's extremely important that the hydration people taking hydrate themselves.
That's right. That's the way you cleanse and detoxify. And if you don't drink enough water, that can contribute to high blood pressure too. It gets thick blood.
Yes, it makes a major difference with the blood. And that's one of the things that the equipment that I've recently purchased shows, that I find that people who have high blood pressure and other type of conditions, their extracellular and intracellular water is very 10-15% lower than what it should be. And then as we age, it really starts. And then what happens, too, as we age, the cellular waters and intracellular water begin to leak because of the breakdown of the cells from the acid and the condition of our body. It starts to leak water, so they don't hold water like it needs to, especially if we've been dehydrated for extended periods of time. That in itself throws everything out of balance, too. So it's just amazing the complex and the situation that is contributed or caused by dehydration and not drinking the proper amount of water for a person's body size and activity level and so forth.
That very, very important. And when we think about our body composition, what are we made of, about 60% water or so?
No, actually, somewhere between 70 to 85%, depends on the organ and so forth.
Yeah, wow.
That is water.
Wow.
And like I said, the brain can be as much as in total contents is somewhere between 85 to 90% water.
Wow, wow.
And what happens with dementia and the brain literally dehydrates. And the water, the book that I got from this other doctor, Pissinger, it shows that, water should be your first most important nutrient. And because, in fact, in order to make everything else work like it's supposed to, we got to get that hydration level in. It makes a major, major, major difference in every function of the body.
Wonderful, wonderful. Very, very important. Now, the second topic of discussion tonight is how do we maintain healthy glucose levels throughout life? Now, Al, I don't want to put you on the spot for exact stats, but I know and I believe you know that there's a lot of people that have high glucose levels in society. There's lots of people. Isn't it about the number three big problem of health for people, like heart disease is a problem for a lot of people, cancer, and then diabetes. That's right up there, isn't it, in terms of important for looking after your glucose levels?
Yes, glucose level is extremely important. Also, because one of the things that found the glucose level is that they are saying that glucose level should be at a fast level where a person not haven't eaten or something like it should be between 75 to 85. If it's at that level, the people who maintain that level, their chances of diabetes, heart disease, and all these kind of things is dramatically reduced. But you find the masses of the population, the glucose level is somewhere over 100 plus.
Wow.
And because of the fact, again, their diet and so forth, and starchy, a lot of starchy food. A lot of people drink a lot of juice drinks. Now, one of the things this doctor who wrote the book, he did over 300,000 patients. And he explained that diabetes in children, now this is a floor for a lot of people, a contributing, major contributing factor that is cow's milk.
What was that? A major contributor to?
To diabetes in children is cow's milk, drinking
dairy. Yes, I agree with that. I have heard that. It actually is. And when you look at some of the people from India, I mean, I go shopping down to Cost Cutters on Fridays, and you see some of these, and I'm not trying to be pointing any fingers, but I see some folks having a whole shopping cart full of like 8, 10, 12, 15, 20 jugs of milk in their cartons, in their shopping carts.
I can read a quote from his book. He says the milk contains many oxidized fatty substances, damage the intestinal environment, increase the amount of bad bacteria, and destroying the balance of intestinal bacteria flora.
Right.
As a result, toxins such as fat-free radicals, hydrogen sulfites, and ammonia are produced in the intestines. Research about what kind of process these toxins go through and what kind of illness arise is still ongoing, but several research papers have reported that milk not only causes various allergies, asthma and sinus and so forth, but it's also linked to diabetes among children. And because of the fact there the body, we are the only species that drinks another species' milk, the human.
That's
no
right.
Other species, they only drink the milk of their kind.
That's right.
We are
I'm
the only ones
on
that does it. And anybody, and it also shows that people who are 40, in their 40s and 50s, and he shows that 95 to 100% are lactose intolerant. Their body and it cannot break down milk itself. That in itself contributes, and the milk is very acidic as well. So that causes excess acids in the body to build up, and which contribute to many, many health conditions as well.
Right. What I like to drink is a little bit of organic almond milk. You know, I mix that with my one cup of coffee a day, and I'm keeping away from milk. I'm with you 100% on that. It's not good. I said to my dad one time, you know, Dad, milk is not good for you. That contributes to diabetes, and it can cause different other heart disease problems and even cancer. He says, you were raised on milk. And I said, Dad, you know what? I have allergies now because of milk. So I just couldn't get, you know, to him to understand that. You were raised on it. People think that they should raise their kids on milk, a lot of people. And
well,
it can cause
myself,
problems. And I'm,
example, between the ages, when we was coming up, because it was six of us, father couldn't afford to buy milk, which
uh-huh.
we didn't know at the time was a blessing.
Right.
But when I started to work, I started working about 13, 14, I started buying milk for my cereal. But by the time I got 19 years old, I had most severe allergies, sinus conditional
mm-hmm.
conditions,
mm-hmm.
breathing problems, itchy eyes, mm-hmm. nose. I tried every medication on the market, nothing helped.
Right.
And I read this book called Milk, A Friend or Foe.
Right.
And it showed all the damaging effects of milk. And
right.
I cut it out completely. Within 3 to 6 months, it all just, boom, went away. And this has been over 25 plus years ago. So I know it's a very, very harmful substance. And one of the things we're killing our children caused
mm-hmm.
To many, many unnecessary health conditions that's
mm-hmm.
costing billions and billions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
hundreds of billions of dollars
mm-hmm.
in medical costs.
That's right. And I suffered for many years with allergies since 6 years old. Terrible allergies.
I did. I say, when I got grown between the ages of 21 to 26.
Yeah.
I suffered from birth 5-6 years or more.
Yeah.
And, but I'm so thankful to learn what it is. So milk, ice cream, yogurt, and all that kind of stuff, you know, it tastes so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I just best leave it alone.
That's right. I'm with you there. So that is something that we can do nutritionally to help with maintenance of healthy glucose levels. Avoid dairy products.
Well, like I say, that's one to reiterate that hydration is, according to all the research and doctors and what I've seen, is first and foremost, and then we have to have the proper nutritional foods and so forth in our bodies. And it is very important that we are drinking water that is more alkaline, because we are so acidic. Mm-hmm. And the only way we can bathe our cells and our tissue, it needs to be, because like I said, every part acid, I mentioned it before, every part acid takes 20 parts alkalinity. Now, to show what that means, for one 16-ounce soda, it takes at least 3 to 3.5 gallons of 9.0 alkaline water to neutralize the acid of one soda. So if a person drinks 3 sodas a week, they need to be drinking anywhere between 9 to 12 gallons of water a week.
Wow.
To neutralize the acid just from the sodas. It's not including from the foods and other things in the diet. So it's extremely, extremely important.
Yeah, there you go. Water again. It's so critical for so many different things. Well, we're running out of time rapidly, and it's been an awesome call. At this time, I would like to invite anyone that has any questions tonight. Please go ahead, go *6 to unmute yourself, and go ahead and ask Al Copeland any questions that you deem fit. First question, please don't be shy. We're here to answer questions. Any questions tonight, go ahead. You need to go *6. Any questions? We're running out of time. Okay, well, I'm surprised. Usually we have a whole battlefield of questions, which is very fun to answer, but I think we must have done a really good job explaining things as is then.
Well, I guess that's a positive.
Yes, we'll make that a positive. Well, thank you so much, Al. That was a wonderful call tonight with you. Really, really appreciate that. And we'll have to get together in the next month or so and do it again.
All righty.
All right.
Okay, Sharon.
Thank you, Al.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Who was this?
This is Jay in New Jersey.
Hey, Jay. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. That was a good presentation. I got a lot of information out of that.
Yeah, because, like I say, hopefully the calls is informative and helpful to those who are listening, and maybe have information to help with some of your people you're talking to with regard to hiding body and other things about their health. There's so much that I can touch base on, but, you know, on the hour's time, you got it limited and got to be selective about what to talk about. You know, I appreciate, you know, the comment.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Al. That was great. And we'll carry on with some more information and, what can I say, inspiration from you next time. Awesome call. Thank you so much.
Okay. You have a good
night. Thank you, everyone, for coming on the call tonight, and have a great week.